Mark's grandfather grew up in this town and has been a member of this congregation for his whole life. There's a lot to be said and a lot of emotion in the saying of it. Even the preacher seems moved. So used to saying the words, but not for someone who he's cared about. Mark's father gets up to speak, and his body seems at war with his sentences. Every time he tries to release one, his breath stops, his shoulders seize. Mark's mother goes up and stands next to him. It looks like he's going to ask her to read his words for him, but then he decides against it. Instead, he puts away the speech. He talks. He unspools the memories, and sometimes they have knots in them, and sometimes they are frayed. But they are the things he thinks of when he thinks about his father. Around him, the congregation laughs and cries and nods in recognition. Tears are welling up in my eyes, streaming down my face. At first, I don't understand it, because I don't really know the man they're talking about. I don't know any of the people in this room. I am not a part of this, and that is why I'm crying. Because I am not a part of this and will never be a part of something like this. I've known this for a while, but you can know something for years without it really hitting you. Now it's hitting me. I will never have a family to grieve for me. I will never have people feel about me the way they feel about Mark's grandfather. I will not leave the trail of memories that he's left. No one will ever have known me or what I've done. If I die, there will be no body to mark me, no funeral to attend, no burial. If I die, there will be nobody but Rhiannon who will ever know I've been here. I cry because I am so jealous of Mark's grandfather, because I am jealous of anyone who can make other people care so much. Even after my father's done speaking, I am sobbing. When my parents return to the pew, they sit on either side of me, comforting me. I cry for a little while longer, knowing full well that Mark will remember these as tears for his grandfather, that he will never remember I've been here at all. Such a strange ritual, to send the body into the ground. I am there as they lower him. I am there as we say our prayers. I take my place in the line as the dirt is shoveled onto the coffin. He will never again have this many people thinking of him at a single time. Even though I never knew him, I wish he were here to see it. We go back to his house afterward. Soon enough, there will be sorting and dispersing. But now it's the museum backdrop for the exhibition of grief. Stories are told, sometimes the same exact story in different rooms. I don't know many of the people here, but that's not a failure of accessing. There were simply more people in Mark's grandfather's life than his grandson could comprehend. After the food and the stories and the consolation, there's the drinking. And after the drinking, there's the ride home. Mark's mother has stayed sober the whole time, so she's behind the wheel as we make our way back in the darkness. I can't tell if Mark's father is asleep or lost in thought. "It's been a long day," Mark's mother murmurs. Then we listen to the news wrap around itself, repeat at half-hour intervals until we are finally home. I try to pretend this is my life. I try to pretend these are my parents. But it all feels hollow because I know better.